Hi, and welcome to my podcast. I shouldn't say this, but my name is Katie Leeson, and it is my absolute pleasure to welcome the wonderful Natalie Wills onto the podcast today. Natalie is the Global Director of Marketing at Zalando. In this episode, we discuss the importance of authenticity online, why we are all influencers, and what we can learn from the way young people use social media. Natalie, welcome to the podcast. Thank you so much for coming on. Would you mind introducing yourself to the listeners, please?
Sure. So thank you so much for having me. My name is Natalie, and I currently lead the global marketing team at Zalando. And for those of you who don't know, Zalando is Europe's leading fashion platform. We sell amazing fashion and beauty items across 26 European countries, and I'm lucky enough to lead that team.
Incredible journey as well, which I'm sure we'll touch on at some point, and the importance of social. But it's so nice to have you on today, because I know a lot about Zalando. We're lucky enough to have worked with you at Social Chain as well through the US team. So it's great to be able to talk to you a little bit. But also I see a lot of the things that you talk about online through your own personal brand. And I know that this is going to lead into some really good conversation around social media and how we operate. So because of that, we're mixing it up a little bit today. Usually I don't do the admission submission first. I usually do it last, but because yours is so good, we're going to start with it.
Great.
So this podcast is called I Shouldn't Say This, But, because in every episode I try and open up with honesty and talk about subjects that perhaps other people would usually avoid. Please, would you share with us your admission of something that you probably shouldn't say, whether that's an admission about your struggles you faced during your career, an unpopular opinion you might hold, or something that you're trying to overcome. So Natalie, I shouldn't say this, but...
I shouldn't say this, but we are all influencers. And that is something I want to dive into today.
I love that. I just think it's so good. Absolutely love it. For those that think, why? No, we're not. I've seen the influencers. They're like Molly May and things like that. Tell us a bit about what you mean.
Sure. So I think that I also think that the sort of definition of influencers has become something in people's mind that is not really how it is in my mind. So I would say if we think about your personal ability to influence others, you don't have to have hundreds and thousands of followers to do that. And actually, also, you don't have to have a social media account to necessarily influence someone. Like, people were influencers before social media existed, right? So it's just made things easier now that we have these platforms. But you can be somebody that inspires someone. So whether that is to sort of go on a great diet, or, you know, work out more, or to change their mindset to be more positive, you can be that person's inspiration. You can also be an influencer with collaborating with others. I think there are so many times that, I mean, just within our own networks, we're collaborating together. And that is influencing people, because you're giving somebody else perhaps a point of view or an opinion that they didn't necessarily consider before, which is really, like, great. And something that I'm personally very passionate about is you can influence people in terms of your morals and your values, which I think is where I really see where social media has got such an amazing role to play. And I think we'll get into that deeper in a second. But I think that really by starting to see social media as a positive change, as a platform to make positive change, is where I think the richness of this comes from. So, yeah, really, all in all, like you, I follow you on Instagram, and you constantly inspire me to have a positive mindset. And I think the more people that that you surround yourself with, whether that be online or in real life, those people have an influence on you and your mood and your goals and aspirations. And I think that cleaning the toxic ones out and, you know, keeping the real optimistic people around you is going to be game changing to how you proceed in life.
So true, isn't it? And thank you for that compliment, because I try and be positive. It's not always easy. And when you're trying to be positive all the time in your life, it's a little bit difficult. But I was told by a coach recently that I have to practice gratitude more, and I found it really difficult. I think I try and post so much to try and help other people be positive all the time, but I'm not great at thinking of it myself. So it's something that I need to bring in to my own daily life.
I mean, you and me too. I think that, you know, it's like you have to fill your own cup as well. That's important. You can't just fill others. So I totally agree with your coach. Plus one to that.
Yeah, I'm trying and I'll get there. Is it something that you're really aware of then when you're posting as well?
Yes. So I would say that I really am not sort of curated necessarily. I just really speak my mind, and also specifically on channels like Instagram, I like to be real and authentic. So I think that this idea of perfect is just really not not for me. And I think that that's something that I'm very conscious of, because especially I'm a mum of a small daughter, and I just feel that I want her to grow up in a world where she doesn't think everybody is perfect around her. And, you know, as we know, this is one of the biggest problems for young teens and people on social media, thinking that they, you know, they've got such a lot of anxiety from social media. And I think it's up to people to really use their platforms to share positive change and, to also showcase the bad stuff in their life, perhaps, not only the good, because we know life is a journey and it's not always ups, there's also downs.
It's so important, isn't it, to share the difficult times as well as the not just all the polished images. So that authenticity piece is probably one of the best lessons you can teach your daughter, because there's so much of it there from a comparison point of view, being able to separate yourself and know that it's not real life 99% of the time is a really valuable lesson, because you do get sucked into it even as an adult.
I think one of the craziest things is when your phone tells you how much time you've spent on screen time, and you see that number pop up and you're like, oh good grief, like how have I spent that much time on social media? And that's during meetings and you spend so much time on social media, so we might as well all make it a place where people feel that they can belong. And because I think social media is by no means going away. It's just becoming more and more prolific in our society. So it's important that we shape it in a way that doesn't necessarily drive such anxiety that it's doing now.
Yeah, I say this on every episode, so the listeners will get really annoyed at me. But since we did an episode with a lady called The Comparison Coach, she said about how we should use our feeds like Pinterest boards and manifestation boards of things that we want. So if you see something and you get triggered by it and you're like, oh, why have they got that? If we flipped our mindset on it and looked at it as in like, that's what I want to achieve, or that's what I want to manifest, or that is the thing that I really want, and set them as goals rather than as something that you're lacking. And I was like, that reframe of your mind is a really powerful way of thinking about social, and I've said it in every single episode since we did it, because I just think it's one of the best things I've ever heard.
I made a note. I've written it. I'm totally going to follow that straight after this. Thank you.
It's so true though, isn't it? We use Pinterest as like inspiration, and we look at the pictures that people are posting on Pinterest as a way to inspire us, whether that's through clothes, which I'm sure Zalando are using to great effect. And then you've got house things, all sorts of stuff that you can look at on there as inspiration boards. But we don't do the same with Instagram, but it's the same sort of images.
Totally.
We should be able to do it.
I love
that. Yes, I know, I do. It's one of my favourite things I've ever heard. And I'm preaching about it to anyone and everyone that will listen now. So in that, with that in mind, in your opinion, what are the best kind of influencers on social in terms of how they post, how they speak, how they act online? We've talked about authenticity. Is that the biggest thing, do you think?
I think so. But I also think it's now going to start being more about community. So I think influencers that are able to really harness the power of their community and share real things and use their voice to sort of support, as I say, whether that's a positive change, a social issue, et cetera. I think that really harnessing the power of their community is going to be so important. You also see this so much on TikTok, actually, and we've been really quite amazed that on that platform, a lot of the creators that we work with are really happy to share stuff that is so personal to them. So we've been working with creators that have transitioned in gender, for example, or have become sort of superstars overnight, etc. And they're sharing like so much of their personal journey, like the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I think it's been quite amazing to see on that platform, because it feels like it is quite a rich territory where people feel more psychologically safe. So I would say that's where I think, you know, there is such a lot of scope to, you know, be a great influencer in that place where you are able to share, you know, such important stories with your community, because you don't actually know how many people you can impact from those personal stories. But on the flip side, I think, you know, the over-polished and just showing everything over-filtered, over-edited, not a single like blemish on your skin, etc. I think that's in the past. I don't think people are, and I think we see this now. I think a lot of the top influencers now are sharing more of the authentic side of themselves, because they realize that people are switching off to sort of this perfect, the idea of fake perfect.
In terms of how you look at it from a Zalando point of view, then, are you really cautious of that when you're choosing influencers that you're going to partner with? You mentioned some of the ones on TikTok. I couldn't agree more. I think part of what makes TikTok really special is the supportive community that people are building on there. Mm-hmm. And you can see it. It's at all walks of life, all different backgrounds, all different positions are posting about their own life, but they're getting supportive messages in return. There's a very... I'm sure there is hate on there, but it doesn't seem to come out as much as on other platforms from what I can see. So is it something you think about then when you're looking at your influencers for Zalando?
Yeah, 100%. So we're a very passionate, values-led business. And I really think something that I am, you know, very keen on, and my team are as well, is really making sure that we are changing the traditional stereotype of fashion and beauty. So we are very conscious in making sure that we are casting a diversity of talents from all European countries, but then also showcasing talents who share our values and that our values resonate with them. So that could be during cultural moments, for example, of Black History Month, or it could be during Pride, or you know, we work with a lot of these creators for the whole year, 2 years, 3 years. We've been working with them for many a time. And as a result, we've developed these amazing authentic relationships with them. So we don't have to necessarily brief them on what works well for our community. They know our brand. They know that we're passionate about their values. Our values are shared. And it's a great relationship. So I think the key thing is really making sure that we're casting influencers that are values led and from a very diverse and inclusive perspective. And that's how we're going to impact the landscape and drive change.
Nice. Really nice. And what we're also seeing is the way that some creators on platforms like TikTok, like we've talked about, but also those ones that you're choosing who actually are authentic within their communities, they're driving change in the physical world as well as in the online world. Do you think, what have you seen that's been some of the best real world changes that have come from social media recently?
I mean, well, I think the last 2 years, we've probably lived through some of the biggest social movements of all time. So if we think about, you know, what we've been through in the last 2 years, I think it's been mammoth. And I think social media has truly helped to showcase these movements and give them the amplification that they require. So things like the Black Lives Matter movement, things like Stop Asian Hate, the terrible crisis that's shaping up in Ukraine at the moment. There's been a lot of information shared on social media where people have been supporting these causes. Obviously, you're always going to get... you know, perhaps fake news, and you're going to get, you know, some haters, etc. But I think that the amount of information that is shared and the rapidness of the speed of sharing this information has been game changing and so helpful to so many of these causes. So I think that's been something that's been really incredible to see. Mm. I'd also say, like, something that I think that is being forced from social media is the sense of transparency. in so many areas. So whether you're a brand, a government, a leader, you know, people expect you to be extremely transparent and showcase what you're doing. And I think social media has driven that change. You know, we've seen so many new political leaders, for example, like really be able to connect with grassroots movements and their audiences, et cetera, from driving a social media following and being transparent about what they're doing every day.
And again, it goes back to that community thing that you said before, because it's people building communities online that can then impact change. And yeah, you're right. We have seen it to great effect. I will not comment on the political transparency of the UK leadership, because it isn't worth getting into. We would be here a long time. but that's the opposite side of what we're seeing in other places, which is a real shame. And that shift in content that I completely can agree with. I think some of the most incredible things that I've seen in the last few weeks, in the horrendous way that the Ukraine-Russia war is happening, is how people are sort of myth-busting to the Russian people who are getting so much propaganda. And you've seen it on social, where people are sharing more and more and more to try and get the truth out to the people that need to hear it. And I think that's really amazing to see, and an incredible power to social media that wouldn't have been available previously in years gone by in history as we've gone through. So yeah, it's incredibly sad, but also incredible to watch how we can use this platform to make real change.
And I just think it's so amazing to see how many people are supportive, right? So, you know, the amount of donations that have been raised, the amount of people sharing that they have rooms available in their house, or they have a job available, or, you know, I saw a great post on LinkedIn the other day, actually, which is a platform we often don't talk about within the social media landscape, which is very strange considering it's a very, very big platform for networking. But actually of a gentleman from the Ukraine was sharing, and he shared a picture of himself and his family, you know, fleeing the country. And he said he's looking for this sort of job. Can anybody help him? And that community just were throwing opportunities at him. It was so supportive. You know, I'm not even sure. It was definitely a post that got many, like hundreds of thousands of views, but also the amount of contacts that were revealed there, you know, contact me here. I have this to offer you. So I just think the power of harnessing a community is really where social media is just so effective. And it's a really like quite beautiful and amazing human thing to see that still that does happen.
Mm. And long may it continue as well. Yes. But you're right. I think we don't ever talk about that. We talk about the negatives and all the fake news and all that. But there is a real human drive inside to social of how we want to help. And that's really come across in the last few weeks. Let's move on then. Let's talk about young people and social media, because I know this is also a topic that we're both, it's very close to both our hearts, and especially yours, as you're raising a young daughter. It's going to be really important to you that this is the right way of raising around social media. How do you think that the shift in content type recently has impacted young people and their perception of relationships with social media?
Well, I think that I always try and see the glass half full. So I think if I look at the more positive aspects, I 100% can see that influencers are, and people on social media, brands, et cetera, are trying to showcase a multifaceted, you know, version of their lives, versus before we would only see the perfect, which I think is, and in some cases that, you know, 100% we still see that. But I think that it is quite interesting to see so many influencers sharing things that are perhaps not necessarily things that they would have shared 2 years ago. So I think that's amazing. I think the idea of there's many brands that have, beauty brands that have jumped on the bandwagon of like, stop using filters. You know, you're as beautiful as you are without a filter. So I think that type of movement is really great to see, that people are starting to realize that these filters are actually making us, you know, prefer ourselves in social media than what we actually look like in real life. And, you know, we should be celebrated for our uniqueness versus celebrated for all looking the same. So I think that that's something. And also you've seen a such a change, because even if we look at the recent events, if people didn't speak up about it, they were kind of shunned within their community. You know, I think it was quite interesting what was happening like around Milan Fashion Week, et cetera, where, you know, a lot of influencers had to come out and say, you know, this is my job, guys. I'm obviously thinking about Ukraine right now and I'm sharing posts, but there was a big topical conversation around this. Like, is it right to be talking about fashion and perfect lives and great handbags, et cetera, at a time when people are suffering? So I think these type of arguments are really important to kind of shaping the narrative in terms of how influencers share information. Yeah. So I would say that there's a lot of positive stuff happening, but I think that obviously it's a slow burn, and you know, we need more brands and more people to start celebrating their own uniqueness, and celebrating, you know, being themselves and not being perfect, and speaking up about issues, whether they have, you know, mental health issues or whether they are battling with raising their children, or really just being more real. And I think then you'll be able to harness the power of community for good versus just thinking, oh my gosh, I'm such a loser. I don't have this, you know, great life, or I don't have my life under control, etc. So yeah, I definitely think there's been a lot of shifts for the good.
Yes, you can see it. You can definitely see it. More people are opening up. But I think it's going to take more brands like yourself being brave enough to change from the influencers that they see are working for in terms of their return on investment. Because it's been so many years of using the same type of influencer and seeing a business return for that investment. And I think it's going to take the brave few to then push the rest into using influencers that are talking in a different way to keep that momentum going. And I'm hopeful that we'll get there with the likes of Zalando doing it in such a great way.
Yeah, and I also think if you see sort of the actual, like on TikTok, as we're talking about, the community is really responding to these things. So the brands don't have to be so worried, because actually, you know, the audiences on TikTok want to see real. They want to drive change, etc. So I think that, you know, before maybe it would have been a little bit scary for brands to go into this area. But I think now it's sort of, we know that specifically Gen Z consumers really want to follow brand values-led influencers, creators, brands, etc. So it's a topic that they should address and be proud to address, which obviously wasn't the case in my boomer generation, you know, whereas it's definitely the case with young people now, who are just so amazing. And every day I'm just so blown away by the young people, what they get up to. But yeah.
Well, that leads me on quite nicely to my next question, actually, because what is it you think we can learn from the way young people are using social more generally? We've talked about the authenticity piece. We've talked about building communities and talking about things. Is there anything else that you think we could learn, us oldies now, that are going to need to learn about TikTok?
Exactly. I feel like I have a TikTok account, but I'm literally just there as a creeper to like.
I try every now and again. I'll post something about the dog and see if that works.
Totally. So I feel, you know what I think is so amazing, how young people are just so creative. The amount of creation that you see is incredible, that they just are able to take some very simple storytelling, like a, you know, let's say a short form TikTok video, and manage to edit it with music and, like, you know, so many things. And also I see, like, in a lot of the DIY trends where people are upcycling their clothes and their sneakers, etc. It's just incredible, the creativity of Gen Z and millennials. Like, it's insane. So I think that's something that you can learn. I'd also say something I learned from them is to be brave, because I think that often, like, things that are holding us back are just, oh my gosh, somebody's going to judge me for sharing that. Maybe they won't think it's cool, or et cetera, et cetera. There's a whole community on TikTok and on Instagram of people celebrating you doing cool things. So I just think if there's anything you can take away from it, like just start, like you will be supported. So being brave and just getting in there is really good. Cause, and then I also think like we as brands, you know, need to learn from these young people in terms of not necessarily having to hire people that have got years and years of experience, because I always joke, you know, if we're looking for an account director that's going to run TikTok, that person's likely going to be between 18 and 25 years old. So they're likely not going to have had, you know, the years and years of experience. So I think just the fact that these young people have grown up as digital natives means that they already are far ahead in terms of like how to use these platforms and what works and being so in the know. So I would say that's probably something, because I even learned like a whole new language on TikTok. I was like, I didn't even know that. Like, you know, I commented under one of our TikTok videos, the crying emoji, you know, the one that you always use on Instagram. And one of the ladies in my social media team said, Nat, I just have to tell you, like on TikTok, we don't use that anymore. We use like the dead skull. Like that is like the new crying face.
I was like dead.
Yeah. So I felt like such a boomer. She was like, no, that's literally, you don't do that anymore. Right. So, yeah, it's just learning a new language on these platforms has been so interesting, but, so there's so much we can learn, but I'd say I'm bowled away by the creativity.
Yeah, it is. It's amazing. It's really inspiring, isn't it?
Very inspiring.
I think that's really a great thing to think about the positives. We've talked loads about the positives. There's so many positives, and you're right, it's not going anywhere. So what would you say to the people and the parents and the boomers who are worried about social media having an overwhelmingly negative impact on young people today?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, everybody's going to say, oh, this is such a typical answer. But like, I do think it's about balance, because I mean, anyone, it doesn't matter if you're young, old, et cetera. I mean, to spend so much time on social media is not good for you, right? So I think just balancing it out in your life. But exactly as you were saying about the manifestation, like use social media as an opportunity to follow people that empower your, you know, enhance your creativity or empower you in different ways, or, you know, inspire you, or keep it, I think, keep it as a place that feels comfortable for you. Because I think if you're going to invite all of these creators into your life, into your bedroom or your lounge when you're sitting on the sofa and, you know, chilling out, you would still want the people that you invite into your house, even if it was in person or on social media, to be people that you enjoy spending time with, right? So I think invite the right people into your life. So I think that's a key thing. And, you know, spending too much time with people that, you know, as you say, like trigger you, is obviously not going to be great. So I know it's easier said than done, because we all like stalking certain pages because we're interested in what they're up to. But I think if you sort of try and balance it 80-20, I think you're going to be in a much better place. And then I would also say, like from a brand perspective, I think all marketeers and brands have the opportunity to shape the future. And I think, you know, we have the opportunity to start standing up for things and to, you know, working with people who don't perhaps look and speak like the, you know, idea that we had of fashion and beauty or of an influencer. And that's okay, because as I say, uniqueness should be celebrated and diversity should be celebrated. And we need to reflect actual real life versus this fake perfect. So I think from a marketeer's perspective, there's a lot of change that we can drive.
Definitely. And there's something really nice in a couple of bits that you said there. And it leads me on to the next topic that I want to cover, which is how you can build a career out of it. One that you said earlier around who you hire and their creativity. And Social Chain's secret sauce has always been that we call it 50% pure, 50% pro. We have managed to grow at the speed that we have because we've hired 50% of people, it's probably not even 50%, it's probably less than that, who have worked in marketing and understand marketing theory, and they know how to build structures around how people operate and comms, messages and things like that, coupled up with the pure social media natives who just get it, who are on it all the time, who are creating communities on there themselves in their own time. And those two matched together are the things that have really created a very special workplace that has enabled Social Chain to grow, because you've got the knowledge matched up with the experience there. So you, it's worked really well. And you touched on it there about how to hire someone. If you need someone to run your TikTok, you're not going to go and find someone who doesn't have a clue about how to run it. In the same way, what you said there as well is about diversity and having a diversity of knowledge. I get asked quite a lot about how I approach diversity in career, in employment, in and through leadership, and how we could all be better at it. And the answer I always give is very similar. As marketers, we're talking to so many different people. Our target audiences are sat in so many different areas that you need that diversity of thought. You can't have the same people working within your company, because you're going to get the same answer over and over again. You need the difference in your team to be able to pull that out.
Yeah.
So thinking of that, is that something that you think about at Zalando? And is it something that you want to see more companies take notice of?
Yeah, I think that we 100% would always want to have like a diverse team, because that's where the magic happens. I also think you can't possibly understand something as much as another person who's lived and been through that, right? So I think that it's very important, because I think sometimes brand campaigns can come off as being, you know, a little bit like woke-vertising or, you know, non-authentic, because people that have worked on those campaigns probably don't actually have the depth of emotional experience on those topics. So I think diversity is key. But I also think diversity doesn't only mean in terms of, you know, race, gender, etc. It's also diversity of age, right? So you can, like, I have my head of social media is the most incredible lady, and she is in her late 40s, early 50s, maybe actually. And she used to be a grime DJ in the clubs of Berlin. And then she was a journalist, and she is probably somebody that understands culture more than anyone I've ever met. And, you know, I just think that she probably didn't grow up with TikTok and Instagram, et cetera, but because she's been so in culture her whole life, she's probably one of the best people you can ever speak to understand these topics. Similarly, we have an incredible team of sort of under 25s that work in the social media team that are just so socially native. They know the trends, they know what's happening. And yes, they don't have years and years of experience, but that's perfect, because they have years and years of experience of being digitally native, you know, and that's important. So I think it's just important to always think about your team as being more rich with the more diverse it is. Mm-hmm. And I think that definitely, obviously, a lot of companies are doing this. As a result, I think there was the recent LinkedIn study that said like one of the top most advertised jobs was head of diversity and inclusion last year. So I think that, you know, people are understanding more and more that this is a very important topic to drive business.
And how do you feel about, because I think it's a lead. I think TikTok's amazing for trying to find people, because it's got so much talent on there, and the creativity and just diversity of thought and opinion. Do you think that social media is now really starting to intersect with career and career opportunities?
Yes, 100%. But I also think that a big challenge is going to be how we attract and retain talent. Because I think that social media is in such demand in every company, and it's so easy for talent to be freelance. And I think that there's probably a new model that's emerging, right, with agencies, where you perhaps are a member of like an agency club versus being a full-time agency member, let's say, where, you know, you're freelance, but you get access to certain benefits and, you know, priority work, et cetera, but you don't have to actually be permanently hired, so you can take on other jobs. I think the model has to change, because I think that a lot of younger people, you know, as we've discussed, we've been through a lot, like, it, you know, everyone, young, old, doesn't matter. We've all been through a lot these last years. And I think that now really living your life and doing what's important to you has really been put as paramount in most people's minds. And as such, if a company is basically saying that, you know, you have to be based here and work these hours and, you know, it's probably not going to be attractive for everyone. So I think freelance has become a lot more attractive. And I think that's what we definitely see in social media is it's actually so difficult to find the amount of people that you need for social media. So I wish more people went into social media because I think it's really, and you probably know more from being an agency side, it has exploded. And I don't think that there's enough people that actually have got a career in social media to actually cope with all the roles that are popping up. So yeah, I would say that there's some interesting dynamics that I think will start happening.
Yeah, it's very true. They've coined it, haven't they, the Great Resignation, because everyone's trying to find their pursuit of purpose. It's something that I read recently and I was like, it's very true. People have lived through the hardest 2 years that they'll probably ever have to live through, and everyone's situation was different. So mentally you've got to deal with something, and we're now facing the backlash of that. And it's going to be an interesting few years, I think, as companies and people who are hiring people, just to see how that develops. But the freelancer thing is definitely something that we've noticed more on our radar. Of how people want to work and how they want to work with companies. But in that, then you've got to have a really strong brand as an employer to be able to keep those freelancers coming back if they're good.
Yeah, exactly. I totally agree. And also, like, working out, like, obviously, culture in a company is so important, and often culture is driven by people that perhaps sit there permanently. So I think also just for businesses and agencies, trying to understand the people that they need in their freelancer book that still match the culture of the business. So it's going to be interesting to see what transpires, but I definitely think the old model of work has officially been put to bed. there's new ones coming.
There is, and no one's fully grasped what the answer is yet either. I don't think.
I know, every time I speak to someone, it's like, "Are we doing a hybrid?" And that just is AKA for we're not sure.
We don't know. What
we're doing. We're just going with the, seeing if it works. Exactly. It's like we have a hybrid working model. Okay, and you kind of like expect people to just, you know, smile and wave and accept it. You're like, okay.
It's been really tough. I don't know how you found it as a leader, but personally I found it really difficult as a company that's always been known for its culture to try and keep the culture special while everyone is working at home and working through a pandemic and working through all the negative news that they see every single day. And when you're working in social, you are absolutely surrounded by it. You can't escape it a lot of the time. It's been exhausting. How have you found it as a leader?
Well, I have had the most interesting journey because I actually joined Zalando smack bang in the middle of the pandemic. So I actually, for my first couple of months at Zalando, I didn't even meet a single person. I just saw sort of Head and Shoulders on Google Hangouts for, you know, months and months. And I think it's been difficult, but in some cases, it's been quite nice to be able to sort of chop and change between meetings so easily. I mean, for me, obviously, I haven't had the commute, so I've been able to spend a lot more time with my family. But I think from a team perspective, I've really seen that, you know, when you remove the fun of like that going out for drinks with your friends after work and, you know, just meeting for a coffee or like building truly long-term relationships at work, I think, you know, a lot of people have suffered in that area. And especially like social media isn't only social because it's happened online. It's like often people that work in social media, they're interested in socializing. They want to meet people. They want to, you know, have fun. And I think, you know, it's been very difficult for the younger generation, 100%. But for me as a leader, I think, it's been challenging. And I've only met I don't think I've met every single person in my team yet, because I've only seen people in real life on 3 or 4 occasions.
Wow.
So that has been very different. And I do
it's
feel
crazy,
like
isn't it, when you think about it? It's just yeah. crazy when you think about it, isn't
it's
it?
Crazy because also like I feel like the meeting culture has got very severe. So yeah. everybody is on meetings and calls all the time. And
all
I don't remember that in last jobs that I had, because you didn't have to have so many meetings because you were around everybody. So you would just catch up casually. But the meeting culture has been quite severe, I think.
You just don't get the fun out of it either. It's like everything's got a purpose.
I know. Yeah. And I think that's why I think a lot of people in our office have booked sort of slots where they just talk about anything. Mm. Like, this is a meeting not to discuss anything specific, just randomly chat, because I think that sort of like water cooler moment is missing, where you actually just catch up about how are you doing, what's happened on your weekend. But yeah, definitely is challenging. And hopefully we've seen the back of the worst of it.
I hope so. I think we have. I think we're now coming out the other end. I think it's just going to be now how we navigate hiring. I think you're right. I think how do we retain talent in a time when there is so many opportunities for people and different ways of working. Just finding our feet again after so many years of it not being, after everything feeling a little bit strange.
Yeah, agreed.
I think, and I'd like to, let's not finish on the pandemic. Let's finish on something nice. Let's finish on social. Yeah, let's finish on that positive note, on that glass half full. Social media for good, then. What do you think, and where do you find your biggest source of good on social media right now?
I think that social media is, first of all, I think it is just an amazing space. And that's why I love working in social media, because I love it. I would say my biggest source of good, I love TikTok. I found even if I just am watching a crazy cat video, I love that fun stuff. I think that the music that I get to know about on TikTok is amazing. Like, I think that it's incredible. Spotify has even started like TikTok tunes playlist, because you discover all these amazing artists. So I think music for me is a big passion point. So I've discovered a lot of music on TikTok. I'd also say that following creators that are perhaps not necessarily have got mass following, but creators that are really doing cool things in a smaller community. I have one colleague that has actually just left to be an urban gardener, and he has got the most incredible stories that he shares about growing things on his balcony. I mean, you can find these gems. So just as we've been discussing, use social media as a place to inspire you, not as a space to make you feel bad about your life. So I think for me, I follow all sorts of things. Even though I'm not interested in urban gardening myself, I just find his videos very interesting. I also quite like following things that are not necessarily only images. I like quotes, I like following the star signs. I think there's a lot of things that give me personal motivation, because I read so much on social media. It's nice to sort of get a bit of inspiration before you start your day. But I would like to end on the fact that I think that if all of us are, truly showing our authentic selves to our community, I think we can all make a huge impact to shaping the face of what social media can be in the future, which is a place where everybody feels welcome.
Amazing. And thank you so much for leading that charge, both personally through your own personal brand, but also through the work that you're doing with Zalando, the influencers you're choosing. You're going to make a real difference, and it's going to make real change. So thank you so much. What a wonderful episode. Natalie, amazing. Thank you so much for coming on. And I wish you all the best.
Thank you so much for having me.
It has been an absolute pleasure to have Natalie on the podcast today. And I'm so grateful for her taking the time to speak with us, but also to give so much insight and also real positive feelings about change. It felt like brands are really starting to notice the impact that they can have in the world through social media as well. A bit of a weird one, because I'm not going to sign this off like I normally do, because I will be back with another episode next week, but it will be my last one for potentially a long time. It's my last week at Social Chain, so next week will be my last episode, and I'm going to do a special solo one. So please check that out, and I will see you next week.